And it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for listening. Of course, as always, you can learn more about Hope at investinghope.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of those places. And then you can listen to the podcast, get caught up with everything at investinghope.com. Also, you can find the podcast on iTunes. Some of you are going to be listening on the radio. Some are listening online at wrjz.com. Regardless of how you're listening or where you're listening, we are certainly grateful that you tuned in whenever that is and are learning more about Hope Resource Center and the work that we're doing in saving lives and seeing the Lord transform lives in that process as well. Today, we're going to talk about what was going on and what happened in Las Vegas over the weekend. We're going to discuss that, and the reason we're going to discuss that is because as pro-lifers, as people that that celebrate life, as people at Hope Resource Center that get up every day to stand for life, it's important that we look at things like this. And some even hesitate to call it certainly some would call it a tragedy. Some would call it just downright evil, what occurred on Sunday night. But the reason that we look at these and discuss these things is because as believers, as God-loving people, we have to come to grips with what this means. And there's going to be people around us, even people within our churches, that are having questions. Why did these things happen? Why in the last few weeks have we seen hurricanes in Texas and in Florida and in Puerto Rico and people, 95% of people without power currently in Puerto Rico? And then what we saw in Vegas just the other day of destruction and 59 people dead, 500 plus injured. Some of those from bullets, some of those from being trampled, some of those from running and trying to get away from the bullets. And what some are saying, 10 minutes of straight shooting down onto people as a terrible, terrible thing that happened there in Vegas. So what does that mean for us? You'll hear some people get out there and they'll say, well, this is happening because of, and I would caution you when they say that. Because what some are going to do, they're going to claim to be on our team, they're going to claim to be believers, and they're going to say this happened because of fill in the blank. I've even seen one person say it happened because of the national anthem protest and these other things, and it's God's judgment on this country. And I'm just going to tell you that's wrong. So I believe that God is very much involved and ordains and is sovereign in seeing everything. But if we want to get down to why we have this destruction, why we have chaos, why we have brokenness, there's one place to go, and that's Genesis 3. That's when sin entered the world. It fractured everything. So now marriage that was supposed to be this beautiful picture of the gospel is broken. Why? Because man wants to overthrow his wife, and wife wants to overthrow her husband. That's what sin did. Everything was broken. Everything was fractured right there in Genesis 3. And we continue to see the ramifications of that. And so maybe, Christian, over the next few days and weeks, we hold our tongue. And we simply stand and love those around us. And point them to a greater truth. Point them to a peace that can only come in a Savior. And so today we're going to talk about Vegas, and we're also going to look at right now as I am talking, as we're recording this, in Washington, D.C., our leaders are discussing the Pain-Capable Bill, the Pain-Capable Act. And what that is banning abortions after 20 weeks. And there's a number of reasons why we need to do that. And so everything is pointing to that's going to be passed. We have leaders in Washington that lean right that have said, that have either co-sponsored or sponsored this bill and said they will vote for it. And we have a president in the White House that has said he will sign it. And so hopefully we will see that in the next few days and weeks and months ahead. Also today, March for Life has come out and they have announced their theme for the March for Life in Washington, D.C. in January. And the theme this year is love saves lives. And I love that they use that theme this year, because what that theme is that sums up Pregnancy Center's in an amazing way, because we see every day that love saves lives. So I want to quickly go through some of my thoughts, and this is what came to my mind yesterday as I was processing the news of Las Vegas. So I woke yesterday morning to the sounds of my one-year-old calling for her mommy. I rolled over and was met by my four-year-old daughter snuggling for warmth against my side. I gave her a kiss and reached for my phone to silence the alarm, and I quickly, as I do most mornings, scanned my news feed for the news of the day. And I was met, just like many of you, with a terrible headline alerting to the attack in Las Vegas. You see, we live in a broken world full of broken people. Now, in the coming days, law enforcement and journalists will comb through the life of the man that callously took the lives of over 50 people and injured over 500. We will hear of his family, work history, past relationships. Efforts will be made to explain the how and why of this atrocity. Ultimately, however, a reason may not be found. We will search for answers, but the uncomfortable truth of it all may leave us with utter confusion and no true answers as families are forced to pick up the pieces and move forward. There is no doubt that many will use this tragedy to score political points. And if you're on Twitter, if you're watching cable news, you've already seen that in just mass numbers. I caution you against that. As I read this, there is a mom anxiously awaiting a phone call from her child that may never come. There is a wife preparing to bury her husband right here in Tennessee. There are law enforcement personnel dealing with the aftermath of another senseless attack. Now, I wish I could provide words that would help or make it all go away, but I can't. I'm unable to bring back a child, a mom, or a dad to their family. I'm unable to rewind the clock and prevent this terrible act. I'm unable to provide understanding for what occurred last night or two nights ago in Las Vegas. And I realize that some of us are not in the Vegas area and feel as if we cannot help in a substantial way. And I feel this same sense of helplessness. But we can start here at home. We can love our family better today than we did yesterday. We can refuse to let our anxieties and petty worries drive us to despair. We can choose to love and assume the best of our neighbors. We can choose to mend broken relationships and cease seeing those that disagree with us as enemies. These small efforts in our lives will go a long way in seeing a trajectory change in our discourse and interactions with our fellow man. We have a belief at Hope that every human deserves our love, value, and respect. We believe this to be true because every human was created by and bears the image of our Maker. I cannot provide the peace and comfort so many need today, but I can point you to the one that can. Your prayers will not fall on deaf ears. Your love will not be given in vain, and your care for those hurting today will not be wasted, will not be a wasted effort. You may not be able to fly to Las Vegas today, Puerto Rico tomorrow, or Texas and Florida next week, but you can love your neighbor today. You can love your child today. You can love your spouse today. And you can simply love today. So join us at Hope as we purposely and wholeheartedly choose love today. Have you ever thought about that? Do you get up in the morning and think, I need to choose love today? If you're married, do you get up every day and think, I need to choose to love my spouse today? Do you look at your kids and say, I need to choose to love my kids today? Do you see that neighbor every single morning and say, I need to choose to love that neighbor today? I need to choose to love that person that passes me on the road today. Because folks, love takes effort. A lot of effort. There were people running around scared for their lives in Las Vegas. And I just read a story before I came in today where a man just met a woman right before the shots occurred. They were having a good time. She got shot in the chest. And what did he do? He jumped on top of her to shield her from getting shot anymore. Then he pulled her to safety, put her in the back of a truck to be taken to the hospital. And then where did that man go? Did he run? No, he went back and he saved more people. He wasn't a military officer. He wasn't a paramedic. He wasn't a first responder. He was simply a man that said, I'm going to choose to love those around me today. And you read story after story of people that chose to love in a time of crisis. the young man that died who's from Tennessee, they said that he died shielding his wife from the bullets. He chose to love her with his dying breath. And folks, that is what marriage is about. You see, that's hard. That's not petty. I woke up Monday morning. I woke up yesterday morning thinking, wow, all my little petty anxiety that I have of worrying about nothing, you know, means very little when thinking about what's going on in Vegas and the lives that were impacted and the families that were broken apart. And so you'll read the news and you'll listen to the news and you'll see folks jumping to political corners and making political points and seeking to tear more people apart and divide this country even further. You can't even watch late night television anymore with Jimmy Kimmel without him standing up and making a political, acting as if he's some kind of political leader that can speak on truths that he's not completely aware of. You can't watch sports anymore without getting a political lecture. You can't listen to sports talk radio anymore without getting a political lecture. And so what I would encourage you to do today, in light of what has happened in Vegas, in light of what has happened over the last few weeks with the hurricanes in Texas, Florida, and Puerto Rico, as we continue to see the struggle that they're having, is fight that urge to run to your political corner. Fight that urge to immediately attack the other side. And instead, see how you can make a change in your city. See how you can make a change in your community. How can you make someone's life better today? And that someone may be your spouse. That someone may be your kid. It may be your kid's teacher. It may be a friend. It may be your pastor. It may be the stranger at the store. It may be the stranger behind you in the drive-thru. How can you make someone's life better today? Because folks, if we're not waking up with intention every single morning and choosing love, and if the body of believers that believe the gospel to be true are not leading in that, then you can forget about the secular world leading in the love movement. And this isn't about watering down truth. It isn't about watering down gospel. I think some people hear, oh, you're saying choose love. You're some hippie left-wing nut job. Believe me, I'm not. I'm the opposite of that. But we do need to get up and choose to love somebody. There's enough death and destruction around us. Let's not add to that. There is a mom mourning today because she lost her child. There's a dad mourning today because he lost his child. There is a wife mourning because she lost her husband, and a husband mourning because he lost his wife. There are grandparents today that no longer have grandkids. There are best friends today that no longer have that best friend because of what happened. So let's not neglect that. Sure, there's a time for policy discussion. We're going to have a policy discussion in just a second on pro-life issues. There are certainly times for policy discussions. But never forget that there are people that are directly affected by these policies that we care so much about. Let's care about them just as much. We'll be back. So we say, only your blood, cover all my eyes. Only your voice, strong enough to speak and raise the dead. And that bumper music right there is from a good friend of mine, Chuck Hooten, Shoreline Worship. A great dude and an amazing artist. Very talented. Leads worship at Shoreline every Sunday. This is Andrew Wood, and today what we're doing is we're discussing life. That's what we do every single week. So I wanted to start with what happened in Vegas and how we should as a people get up and choose love. And now what I want to do is transition into what is happening in Washington, D.C. today. Depending on when you're listening to this, this is happening on Tuesday. In Washington, D.C., they are debating the pain-capable bill. And what that bill is outlawing abortions after 20 weeks. That is a law that the president has said he will sign if it makes it to his desk. It is a law that most, if not all, the Republicans in Washington have said they will support and vote for. And currently, the way the makeup is in Washington, if that is true, if they hold to their word, then this law should pass. Now, it may see its day in Supreme Court, and maybe certainly will probably be fought. But everything is pointing to that this bill will be passed. And I think it's interesting, if you're on social media and you're familiar with the largest abortion clinic in the country, and I'm not going to name them, but the largest abortion clinic in the country, you know them well. They provide over 300,000 abortions every single year. They make millions of dollars off of abortions every single year. And they're posting on social media today attacking this bill, and they're really propping up abortion and saying that we need to have more abortions and we should have more access and free access and all of these things to abortions. They also are saying that this particular bill, the 20-week ban, is not favored by the public, which is just not true. We have polls that say 6 out of 10 people, 6 in 10 Americans favor a 20-week abortion ban. And the vast majority of the public says this because we have seen what through ultrasound that is a baby. My wife currently is 24 weeks pregnant. Our baby is almost 2 pounds inside of her right now. And just the other day, Friday, we saw an ultrasound, and we got a 3D image of our child, and I posted it on social media because I wanted people to see what a 24-week-old, 2-pound, not quite 2-pound baby looks like. And guess what, folks? It looks like a baby. And so here's the thing. I could argue all day long, and I have on this show numerous times, that the only difference between a baby within the womb at 5 weeks and a baby within the womb at 20 weeks, and then my 6-year-old son, the only difference is proximity and development. But they're all going to turn out to be the same thing. My son, still, the difference between me and him is development. He's 6 years old. He's still growing. He's still thinking. His brain is still growing. Everything's still growing. He's not fully developed. But no one's arguing that I should be able to take his life. But for some reason, when it's inside the womb, it's free game. And so let's just focus for a second on the 20-week ban. Why are we saying, can we not all agree that at 20 weeks, we shouldn't allow abortion after that? Well, of course, the abortion clinics see this as in their terms, a slippery slope, that this will eventually get rid of all of abortions. And I'll just be completely honest and transparent. That is my prayer. But today, let's deal with the 20-week ban. A baby at 20 weeks already has its own DNA, fingerprints, organs, hands, legs, feet, toes, heartbeat, gender. Of course, it had all of those things weeks before that, but let's just look at 20 weeks. What do we have in the womb at 20 weeks? You have an individual human. Now, I would call that an image bearer. I would say that individual human inside the womb bears the image of our Creator. Now, a secular person may say, well, that's hogwash. There is no Creator. We just kind of happened. Okay, regardless of where you stand on that, there's no arguing that is an individual human inside of the womb. Now the question is it okay to take the life of that individual human? That's the question. And all this bill is saying is we think that after 20 weeks, the fetus has developed to a point that there is no way we can rationally and justifiably take the life of that human. Now, abortion proponents will say until that baby comes out of the womb, until that baby leaves the hospital, at times they'll even say, that baby has no rights. None whatsoever. And the person carrying that child should be able to, at any point in time, rid their body of that child. Science is now telling us that a baby at 20 weeks feels pain. So in order to abort a baby at 20 weeks, you can look it up. It's a painful procedure on that child. It's a surgical abortion. So now what we're being told is the baby feels pain. So there's no way to do it where it's a smooth procedure for that child. It is a painful procedure for that child. I took my two older kids to the appointment with us the other day with my wife, and they were able to see on the ultrasound their little sister that's going to be entering the world on, guess what, on January 21st. That's when the due date is, and that is Sanctity of Life Day 2018, which is pretty awesome. So my two older kids, 6 and 4, looking at the ultrasound, you know what they didn't say? They didn't say, Daddy, what is that? At no point did my 6-year-old or my 4-year-old go, Daddy, that just looks like a blob of cells. Why? That doesn't even make sense. That's our little sister. At no point did they say, Daddy, that's just tissue. That's not our little sister. She'll be our little sister eventually, but right now it's just a blob inside of mommy. No, they didn't say that. Why? Because it was clear. The ultrasound images were clear. That is a baby. At 24 weeks, they were able to tell, my 6-year-old, my 4-year-old were able to go, hey, look at her hands. Look at her backbone. Look at her feet. Look at her head. Look at her nose. So folks, if my 6-year-old and 4-year-old, without any prodding, they just looked up and that's what they saw, can see that, then can we not, for a moment, put aside our political leanings and simply say that this baby at 20 weeks is a human that deserves our care, not our destruction? It's really not asking that much in a civilized society. We got bent out of shape, and rightly so, for what happened in Vegas and what happened in Orlando and what happened in Columbine years ago and what's happened all over in these shootings and these terrible events that have occurred in this country. We get bent out of shape, and we should get bent out of shape. But did you know there are 3,000 abortions every single day in this country? So forgive me if it's hard for me to listen to someone that stands in and promotes abortion every single day to then look at me and say, you don't care enough about what happened in Vegas to make a difference. Because we get up every day at Hope so that those individual humans inside the womb would have an opportunity at life, and so that that mom carrying that little baby would have an opportunity at life as well. And we're honored to do it, and we're thankful that you stand with us to do it. We'll be back. So today what we're doing is looking at the different issues of the day and of the week and of the last few weeks. It's just been a rough few weeks in this country, and it was all capped off this past Sunday with a terrible event during a country concert in Las Vegas. 20 to 22,000 people standing there, and then shots rang out. And now 500 plus have been injured, 59 have been killed, and just a terrible atrocity in Las Vegas. And so what I wanted to do today is kind of walk through what that means for those of us that stand for life. And we talked about that in the first segment, and then I wanted to kind of shift gears and look at the bill that's being looked at right now to ban abortions after 20 weeks. and the work that's being done in Washington. And finally, maybe we are seeing some progress in limiting the and restricting abortions across this country. And I applaud the leaders that are doing that. I applaud those that are brave enough to stand up and say that is a life inside the womb and it needs our care and not our destruction. And so I pray that that would continue today. And certainly I pray that they would pass that bill and ultimately the president would sign that bill into law. We shall wait and see. But what I also wanted to do is look at today. You know, there's been a lot of news in the life movement. One of those things that happened today is there was a press conference in Washington, D.C. by the March for Life, and they announced their theme for the march that is occurring in January in Washington, D.C. And so if you've been a follower of this show, a follower of Hope Resource Center over the last few years, you know that I've attended the march in Washington. And last year we partnered with the March for Life and they came out and did a video and talked to our staff and got a sense for what we're doing at Hope Resource Center. And so this year, that's why I was so excited to see that this year the theme is Love Saves Lives. And the amazing part about that, and I'm watching their social media activity today, and they're really highlighting pregnancy centers, and rightfully so. But it is because of the work that we do, we see it every day, that love saves lives. When a patient walks in our door at Hope, they're going to be loved. And oftentimes, that love will save a life. It may save that patient's life from addiction, from destruction, from abuse. But reality, it may save their baby's life. Because it may be the first ultrasound they see. And they get they're told congratulations and they're loved on and they're celebrated. Because even in 2017, there are still a lot of folks. And I have to remind myself of this quite a bit because I'm always thinking about pro-life issues. I go to bed thinking about Hope. I wake up thinking about Hope and how we can impact this city, but most people don't think about the pro-life issue. So most people, especially if they haven't had a child in the last few years, they don't think, I need to Google an ultrasound image, see what that looks like. We had a friend over last night who is actually a veterinarian and younger guy, and he saw the 3D image of our baby, our little girl that's growing inside of my wife right now. And soon we'll have a name, and so I won't just have to call her little girl. I'm not sure what the name's going to be. But he saw that image, and he just was blown away. Blown away. He said, that is unbelievable. I said, yeah, it's a baby. Yeah, I mean, there's no question. That's what's going on inside of my wife right now. It's a baby. But he was blown away at the image, the 3D image in the detail of it. And so what we know, even if someone like him can be blown away, then what we know is when a mom lays on an exam table and looks up at the monitor to see the ultrasound image, they're going to be blown away. Blown away. And so it's such an opportunity for us to celebrate that. So as you look forward to, and maybe you'll go to the March for Life in Washington, I would encourage you to go. I think everybody that claims to be pro-life should go at least once. At least once. And there's a great conference that's going on along with that. And so if you're evangelical, there's the Evangelicals for Life conference that's put on by the Ethics Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. It's an incredible conference. Absolutely incredible. We look at the life ethic from the womb to the tomb and how all that works and where we should stand as Christians and what we should be doing and what kind of conversation should we be having. And so I would encourage you to go to that. It's a very fair price conference along with the march. So you can go to the conference for a couple days, and then the march is on that Friday, I believe, right before. So that would be January 19th or the 20th of March is going to be. So it's a great opportunity. I would encourage you to go. It's always fun to stand with hundreds of thousands of people all in there for the same thing, standing for the unborn, standing for that young mom and saying, you have value, you matter to us, and we want to help you. Because folks, really and truly, love does save lives. And the work that we're doing at Hope Resource Center could not be done without people like you. So learn more about what we're doing, investinghope.com. Learn more about what the March for Life is doing. Go to their website. Find them on social media and keep up with the work that's being done in the Life Movement. We'll talk to you in a sec. So now what? We talked about all the issues, as many of us that we can talk about in about 40 minutes, 42 minutes, I think, after your commercials. So as we look at this, and as pro-life people, what do we have to say to people that are concerned about hurricanes? What do we have to say to people that are concerned about what happened in Las Vegas? What do we have to say about people that are concerned about legislation that's coming down in D.C. maybe today to restrict abortion, or the March for Life in Washington that's happening in January? Well, here's what we have to say: that every life has value and deserves our love and our care. The reason why I was brought to tears, and so many of you were brought to tears with the news and after watching the videos and reading the stories of what happened in Las Vegas, the reason why you were brought to tears seeing the destruction of the hurricanes in Texas and Florida and Puerto Rico, the reason why we are brought to tears is because we care deeply about life. And it hurts us to see when that life is taken away. It hurts us to see innocent people killed. That's why we get upset. That's why people run to political corners. That's why people immediately say, we need to have this piece of legislation or that piece of legislation. Ultimately, that all comes from a place of, I care so much about life that at this moment I'd be willing to do anything. Even at times, if that would take away some of my freedoms, I'd be willing to do anything to see that life would be celebrated. Now, we can agree and disagree on certain policy issues, but I think the root of all of that, the reason why Jimmy Kimmel gets so emotional about healthcare and why he gets so emotional about what happened in Vegas, is because he cares deeply about life. Now, we can disagree with him on those points, but I think the root of that, if we assume the best of him, the root of that is not necessarily to push a political agenda. Now, some of you may would argue with me on that, but let's just be fair, overly fair, and say the root of that is he cares deeply about life. All I'm asking for is consistency. So if you care deeply about the life of a 3-month-old baby that may have to have surgery, and if you care deeply about the life of a dreamer that was brought to this country by no fault of their own, and if you care deeply about the life of a refugee, and if you care deeply about the life of those that have faced destruction in Puerto Rico and in Texas and Florida, then all I would say is, then you should care deeply about the unborn baby growing inside of its mother. That's not a giant leap. That's not asking too much. And really, with the legislation that's being looked at today in D.C., all it's asking is of you to say, okay, at 20 weeks, let's draw the line at 20 weeks. Now, obviously, I would argue we need to draw the line much sooner than that. But for today, can we not agree, let's draw the line at 20 weeks? Who's the ones asking to, who are compromising here? The ones compromising are the pro-lifers who are saying, just give us something, restrict it at some point. So that's not asking too much if we're going to be consistent. Again, I know we live in a world of inconsistencies, and what was okay during the last administration is not okay during this administration. Or what wasn't okay in the last administration is now all of a sudden okay in this administration. That's due to intellectual inconsistency. Let's be consistent. And so if we're going to consistently call out and say that life has value and we need to protect it and we need to stand for it, then it's got to start at the womb. Because, folks, if we don't get it right in the womb, we're not going to get it right anywhere. And I'm not just talking to those that are pro-choice. I'm talking to our own pro-life people as well. Are we consistent? Do we really believe that every life has value? We have to be consistent too. If we're calling for the other side to be consistent, then we better be as well. But the advantage that we have is we're trying to get it right on the front end. And if you get it right on the front end, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get it right in the middle and on the end. Because I've said this over and over and over, and I'll say it again. If you devalue life in the womb via abortion, and you devalue life at the end with doctor-assisted suicide, then ultimately, you have devalued life everywhere in between. And so if we are a society that devalues life everywhere in between, then why are you surprised that a man would pick up a gun and shoot 59 people, killing them and then injuring over 500? We have devalued life. There are leaders of this country right now looking in the camera and saying, we must allow abortion for any reason at any time. So what that is telling me, and what that is telling my 6-year-old and my 4-year-old and every kid and every teenager and every young person in this country, what that is telling them is some lives do have value, but not all of them. What you're telling me is that 24-week-old inside of my wife right now has no rights, no value, no personhood. That's not consistent. And so it baffles me when these atrocities happen, how we all act surprised and bent out of shape. First off, from a biblical worldview, I'm not going to be bent out of shape to see brokenness. It's going to bother me. It's going to hurt me. But it's not going to surprise me. To be completely honest, I'm surprised something that happened in Vegas hadn't happened long before Sunday. Those things don't surprise me anymore. They still hurt. But we have broken people. And in our society, we have said, for years and years and years, we have told young people, middle-aged people, and old people that life does not have value. It is not intrinsically valuable. Because again, if you don't value it inside the womb, then why value it any other place? And so as we look through this and try to figure out what answers we have as believers, what answers we have as pro-lifers, what I would tell you is, first and foremost, be consistent in your stance. Start with that today. Walk through that. Ask yourself questions. If you want to ask me questions, shoot me an email, andrew@knoxvillehope.com. Visit our website, read our blogs, listen to our podcasts. I do the best I can in talking through this every single week to walk us through what it means to truly be pro-life. We'd love to help you out on that. We are so thankful for your partnership. I would ask that you continue to partner with us. Pray for our leaders today and pray for hope as we continue to work and serve this city. We'll talk to you next week. Forgiveness, salvation's waiting there.